This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. So we are reading the tafsir of Surah Al-Mulk, Surah of Dominion, and I believe we reached verse number 12. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى قال الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. لما ذكر حالة الأشقياء الفجار ذكر حالة السعداء الأبرار فقال إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب أي في جميع أحوالهم حتى في الحالة التي لا يطلع عليهم فيها إلا الله فلا يقدمون على معاصيه ولا يقصرون فيما أمر به لهم مغفرة لذنوبهم وإذا غفر الله ذنوبهم وقاهم شرها ووقاهم عذاب الجحيم ولهم أجر كبير وهو ما أعده الله لهم في الجنة من النعيم المقيم والملك الكبير واللذات المتواصلات والمشتهيات والقصور والمنازل العاليات والحور العين والحور الحسان والخدم والولدان وأعظم من ذلك وأكبر رضا الرحمن الذي يحله الله على أهل الجنان.
Having mentioned the situation of the doomed evildoers, Allah now mentions the situation of the righteous and blessed. Verily, those who fear their Lord unseen, that is, in all circumstances, even in situations where no one can see them except Allah, they do not commit acts of disobedience towards Him, and they do not fall short in regard to that which He has enjoined upon them, will have forgiveness. And if Allah forgives their sins, He will protect them from the evil thereof and protect them from the punishment of hell. And they will have a great reward, which is what Allah has prepared for them in paradise of eternal bliss, a vast domain, ongoing pleasures, enjoyment of all that they desire, palaces, lofty dwellings, beautiful hur and servants. And even greater than that will be the pleasure of the Most Gracious, which Allah will bestow upon the people of paradise.
Okay, so the comparison, you'll find in the Quran, there's a lot of comparisons. There's always a comparison. Why? Because, subhanAllah, with comparison, facts become more obvious, they become more accentuated, and that helps us understand them and benefit from them. And as the Arab poet says, وَالضِّدُّ يُظْهِرُ حُسْنَهُ الضِّدُّ وَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَمَيَّزُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. So the opposite shows clearly, you know, its opposite. It demonstrates the sharpness of the comparison, accentuates the differences. وَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. And then he says, things get more clarified, more accentuated when they are compared to their opposites. So comparison is actually a very strong way to emphasize a point. The second point here is that he mentions that all of the blessings of Allah in Jannah, the greatest of them is ridallah, Allah being pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with them. This is the highest in Jannah. And when Allah is pleased with them, He offers them, you know, the privilege and the honor of looking at Him. Of looking at Him or seeing Him on the day of judgment. Okay, we continue. قال وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. هذا إخبار من الله بسعة علمه وشمول لطفه. فقال وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به أي كلها سواء لديه لا يخفى عليه منها خافية. فإنه عليم بذات الصدور أي بما فيها من النيات والإرادات فكيف بالأقوال والأفعال التي تسمع وترى. ثم قال مستدلا بدليل عقلي على علمه ألا يعلم من خلق فمن خلق الخلق وأتقنه وأحسنه كيف لا يعلمه وهو اللطيف الخبير الذي لطف علمه وخبره حتى أدرك السرائر والضمائر والخبايا والخفايا والعيوب وهو الذي يعلم السر وأخفى. ومن معاني اللطيف أنه الذي يلطف بعبده ووليه فيسوق إليه البر والإحسان من حيث لا يشعر ويعصمه من الشر من حيث لا يحتسب. ويرقيه إلى أعلى المراتب بأسباب لا تكون من العبد على بال حتى إنه يذيقه المكاره ليتوصل بها إلى المحاب الجليلة والمقامات النبيلة.
Here Allah speaks of the vastness of His knowledge and His all-encompassing knowledge of subtleties. Whether you conceal your speech or declare it openly, that is, it is all the same to Him and nothing is hidden from Him. Verily, He knows well what is in people's hearts with all their intentions and wishes. So how about their words and deeds which are heard and seen? Then Allah says, giving rational evidence for His knowledge, how could He who created not know His own creation? How could the one who created all of creation and perfected it and made it well not know it? When He is the knower of subtleties, the all-aware, whose knowledge is so subtle that He knows what is hidden in people's hearts and minds, all that is concealed, secret, and unseen. And it is He who knows what is said privately and that which is yet more hidden of unspoken thoughts. The divine name Al-Latif, translated here as the knower of subtleties, also has another meaning, which refers to His subtle kindness. He is the one who is most kind to his slave and close friend in a subtle manner, for He bestows upon him kindness from where he does not expect, and protects him from evil from where he does not realize. He elevates him to the highest status by means that never even cross the mind of the individual, to the extent that he may even put him through hardship, so that by means of it he may reach sublime goals and a noble status.
Okay, so Allah emphasizes again His dominion, His power, His might, Al-Mulk. The surah is Al-Mulk. So Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes His control, His dominion, His authority over everything. So part of that is actually that Allah knows everything in His dominion. Allah knows everything, everything. Nothing is hidden from Allah. What we conceal, what we reveal, all of that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of knowledge. And, you know, there is something that we tend to actually... So when it comes to Allah's knowledge, there's a common mistake. There's a common mistake. We tend to project human knowledge and the dynamics of human knowledge on Allah. For us, knowledge is learnt. For us humans, knowledge is acquired. We acquire knowledge. With Allah, there is no acquiring of knowledge. Allah doesn't acquire knowledge. There's no new knowledge to Allah. Allah knew everything eternally. So there's no learning. There's no learning. I know it's obvious, but actually many times when we talk about the knowledge of Allah, it seems as if, oh, things reveal themselves to Allah. No. No, what happened, Allah knows it, and what didn't happen, Allah equally knows it. It's the same. It's for us that's hidden. It's for us that it hasn't happened. It's for us that it's still in the unseen. But with Allah, it's all the same. It's all to Him equal. And it's not like before creating it, Allah didn't know it. Allah knew it for eternity. From eternity, Allah knew everything. So there's no learning. There's nothing. Nothing surprises Allah. There's nothing new to Allah. Allah knows all of this. Allah has always known everything. Okay, so that's the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of His mulk. It's part of His dominion, His authority, His power. Allah says, doesn't He know? The one who created you, doesn't He know what's going on inside of you? He knows. So that's comparison, or that's drawing a conclusion from the fact that He created to the conclusion that He knows. Because the one who created knows what He created. And that also, scholars always, you know, quote this to show that the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is superior to everything else. Allah created you and He knows what's good for you. He knows what's harmful. So His legislation is based on what? Maslaha and mafsada, good and evil. Allah's legislation is not random, is not arbitrary. It's binding, but it's based on the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just random. There's no empty legislation. Everything has wisdom. Sometimes we know some of that wisdom, and sometimes we don't know anything of that wisdom. Allah kept some of that hidden from us. The second point here is the name وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Al-Latif, the main meaning of Al-Latif, which now today the Arabs use Al-Latif to mean the kind, which is correct. It's correct. It's not incorrect. But that's not the main meaning of latif. The meaning of latif is subtle and hidden. Subtle and hidden. For example, ar-ruh, the soul of the humans, when the scholars define it, they say al-latifatu allati hiya haqiqatul insan. Al-latifa, that subtle hidden thing. So non-physical things are called latifa in the Arabic language. Are called latifa, okay, or lataif. Non-physical things, metaphysical, if you like, are called lataif, latifa. They are described as latifa. The Arabs describe the air as latif. Maddatun latifa, the air. Why? Because it's invisible. It's hardly even, like, you can't even sense it unless there is wind, right? It's so subtle. Its existence is so ubiquitous everywhere and subtle. At the same time, that's what latifa is. So Allah is a latif, Allah is subtle. Meaning that Allah makes His will become true in ways you never thought about. Allah will bring His blessings when you have lost all hope, and all indications point to the opposite. إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Allah is subtle and efficient to whatever conclusions He wants, He decides. So just to bring that to your attention, we continue. قال وهو الذي جعل هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أي هو الذي سخر لكم الأرض وذللها لتدركوا منها كل ما تعلقت به حاجتكم من غرس وبناء وحرث وطرق يتوصل بها إلى الأقطار النائية والبلدان الشاسعة فامشوا في مناكبها أي لطلب الرزق والمكاسب وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أي بعد أن تنتقلوا من هذه الدار التي جعلها الله امتحانا وبلغة يتبلغ بها إلى الدار الآخرة تبعثون بعد موتكم وتحشرون إلى الله ليجازيكم بأعمالكم الحسنة والسيئة.
That is, it is He who has subjugated the earth to you so that you are able to do all kinds of activities that serve your needs, such as planting, building, tilling, and finding routes by means of which you can reach distant regions and remote lands. So travel throughout its regions in order to seek provision and livelihood, and eat of the provision granted by Him, and unto Him is the resurrection. That is, after you depart from this realm that Allah has made as a test and a means of reaching the hereafter, you will be resurrected after your death and gather to Allah so that He may requite you for your deeds, both good and bad.
Cool. That's another aspect of Allah's dominion, al-mulk. The fact that He is the one who designed this earth in this shape to make it, you know, workable for you, make it accessible for you, make it conducive to your seeking provision, to you tilling it, seeding it, growing vegetables, fruits, crops, produce, and then using it as well, the minerals and everything in it, the metals that you draw from it, the industries that you create, all of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is random. So again, that's part of the dominion of Allah. And not only that, He put your provision in this earth. So you are supposed to seek for it, to reach out to it. And then eventually, what's the end of all of this? The end of all of this is that you will return to Allah and He will bring you back to life. You will be resurrected in order to stand before Him. So He holds you accountable. That's the full dominion. Like, everything in your life is under the control of Allah. Everything is prescribed by Allah, designed by Allah. Everything in your life, your life, the whole plan of your life is been put forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you don't depart from that plan. You don't depart from that plan. So everything was done, that's the complete dominion. Who else has that level of mulk? Even the most influential people, the most powerful people on earth in history, never had even a fraction of this. He has control. Allah just mentioned, He knows what's inside of you. He knows your intentions, He knows your thoughts, He knows your hidden thoughts, passing ideas, He knows them. They're already part of His plan for your life. There's no randomness in this. So Allah, that's the mulk. This is why it's called Surah Al-Mulk, dominion of Allah. Everything is exactly under the command of Allah and runs exactly according to the plan that Allah set for it. Nothing departs. Nothing like diverges from this plan. Nothing takes a detour. It all goes according to plan, exactly, perfectly, in all the details. That's the mulk of Allah. And what that should, the response or the state that this should put us in, is that we become more reliant on Allah, more trusting of Allah, feel that we are helpless of ourselves, we can't do anything. We can't do anything, that everything is in the hands of Allah. Everything is under the control of Allah. Everything is run by Allah. Everything is decided by Allah. Everything. So that puts our hearts at peace and also makes our hearts reliant on Allah. No one controls anything. I can try, but you know what? Allah's plan is going to come true. So your heart becomes more attached to Allah than your own plans, your own actions, and everything else. It doesn't mean you sit and do nothing. No, because your actions are part of Allah's plan already. And your test in this life is to do your best in worshipping Allah and seeking the means that will sustain you and help you fulfill that. So you have to do that out of obligation and out of common sense. قال أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير هذا تهديد ووعيد لمن استمر في طغيانه وتعديه وعصيانه الموجب للنكال وحلول العقوبة فقال أأمنتم من في السماء وهو الله تعالى العالي على خلقه أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور تمور بكم وتضطرب حتى تتلفكم وتهلككم أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا أي عذابا من السماء يحصبكم وينتقم الله منكم فستعلمون كيف نذير أي كيف يأتيكم ما أنذرتكم به الرسل والكتب فلا تحسبوا أن أمنكم من الله أن يعاقبكم بعقاب من الأرض ومن السماء ينفعكم فستجدون عاقبة أمركم سواء طال عليكم الزمان أو قصر فإن من قبلكم كذبوا كما كذبتم فأهلكهم الله تعالى فانظروا كيف إنكار الله عليهم عاجلهم بالعقوبة الدنيوية قبل عقوبة الآخرة فاحذروا أن يصيبكم ما أصابهم.
This is a threat and warning to those who persist in transgression and disobedience that incurs divine wrath and punishment. Do you feel secure that He who is above the heaven, namely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is far above His creation, will not cause the earth to swallow you up, and suddenly it would begin to shake and convulse until it destroys you and kills you? Do you feel secure that He who is above the heaven will not send against you a violent squall of pebbles, that is, a punishment from heaven that will strike you, and thus Allah will wreak vengeance upon you? Then you will know the consequences of my warning, that is, that which the messengers and books warned you will come to you. So do not think that feeling safe from divine punishment, whether from the earth or from the heavens, will benefit you, for you will see the consequences of your actions, whether it is a long time coming or not. Those who came before you disbelieved as you have disbelieved. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So see how Allah brought change upon them and hastened punishment for them in this world before the punishment of the hereafter. And beware lest the same fate befall you as befell them.
Okay, there's a subtle meaning here, latif. In the Arabic language they say ma'nan latif. Okay, a subtle meaning here. So we're using latif again here. Ma'nan latif, subtle meaning, hidden meaning, but very beautiful and is so much in line with the theme of the surah al-mulk, the dominion, the authority of Allah and His total control over everything. Humans have some sort of blindness that is caused by familiarity. Familiarity. We assume because life runs according to rules, the rules of physics, right, how the world unfolds, that we take it for granted. It's going to be like that. And we forget that these rules are set by Allah and Allah can reverse them and Allah can change them. So humans, when you tell them fear the punishment of Allah, they will tell you, you know, the day will, the day will follow the night, the succession of the day and night will be the same, the weather will be the same, things will be the same, life has always been the same, right? They will say, so they rely on these rules that Allah and patterns that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the creation. Not realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, if he decides, he can change that. So Allah could punish you. And this is why you will find this usually with people who sin. People who sin, they will tell you, you know, I've sinned but nothing happened to me. So they will get carried away. And they will do more and more and more. And they'll tell you, oh, nothing happened. But that's the way Allah deals with some people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the person to indulge in their evil until they go too far. But then when Allah catches them, that's it. There's no escape. It's done. It's over. It's over. So yeah, the repetitive pattern of something should not blind you. And this is what they're talking about now today, about the housing crisis, right? And the rising interest rate. And they tell you, oh, Canadians got used in the last 20 years that interest rates are so low that people found it as cheap money and they were just buying property for investment. And now when they raise the interest rate, which is all of that, is haram, obviously, is riba. When they raised it, they said, oh, Canadians are shocked. How come? He said, so experts say, this is the norm. What you've been experiencing in the last 20 years is an anomaly, is a departure from the norm. These are not normal, you know, these are not normal interest rates. 1%, 2%, 3%. The normal rates are something, actually, in the past, they were 30%. In average, 25%, right? But again, for some reasons, for some policies, they kept it low. But they couldn't keep it low. Now it's coming back, right? So they say, well, now we are actually back to normal. But people were blinded because 20 years, there is a generation that grew up seeing that interest rates are too low. Now I got your attention, right? I can see the level of attention has shifted. Okay. So, Allah al-Musta'an. So it's because it's a hot topic. Allah. Okay, so they say, so people felt safe. They said people felt safe and they were borrowing like crazy. And they were purchasing, taking mortgages like crazy without any kind of precautions. So they said, now it comes back to bite you. So that's a blindness in humans. When things happen repetitively, we take them for granted. You can call it the veil of familiarity. Or things have always been the same. You will find it in the Quran, that people would say to their prophets, oh, like, we're just like the people who were before us, and nothing happened to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows, you know what? No, there is control for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, don't let shaitan blind you because of that familiarity. Don't be blinded to the fact that things are in the hands of Allah. Things are under the control of Allah. You think that patterns, when they are repetitive and consistent, you think, oh, that's how things run, and that's the only thing you need to measure and the only thing you need to understand reality. You don't realize you live in a very thin spectrum of reality, on a very tiny fraction of reality, but there is more to that that is hidden from you. And it's shared that Allah tells us about that in the revelation. So you need to take heed. You need to take heed. Things are not, don't run according to financial dynamics. They don't run according to cultural dynamics. All of those are, you can call them micro dynamics, but there are macro dynamics. And these are the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says to something be, it becomes. So don't let that, you know, that surface layer of reality deceive you and blind you to the deeper reality where Allah is in control. So that's the subtle meaning here, is that, oh, you feel safe, right? You've been living on earth for a long time and no disasters are happening. So you feel safe that Allah is not gonna send a punishment from above you or cause the earth to shake from underneath you. And I think another example, contemporary example, so maybe I'll get your attention as well, the earthquakes in Turkey. There were many areas, you know, areas in the world where they were actually very active in terms of earthquakes. But then they remained quiet and fairly stable for, let's say, 50, 60, 70 years. two or three generations, then you would find that people in the past stopped building in these areas and they started urban expansion in other areas that had less kind of this kind of active earthquake activity. So people then felt safe. Oh, it's been like stable for 80 years, so they started building, and that's what happened in Turkey. So they started building, and now earthquakes came back to hit them, right? So again, that's the kind of blindness. We also do the wrong thing and we get bitten by it, but then over time, we experiment with it again. If we don't get bitten, we get carried away and we do more of it, and we do more of it, and we do more of it. Then eventually it comes back at us to bite us. So it's important to understand, you know, that we have this type of blindness, and don't feel that if you are saved that things are always going to be the same. That you can actually sin as much as people will say, oh, humanity have been sinning for a long time and no punishment has befallen them, right? You know, you don't dictate how Allah deals with His creation. Allah knows. He's the wise. And Allah doesn't run His kingdom and His dominion according to our very, you know, simple, naive kind of logic that we have, and we assume we are very intelligent. So that's the subtle meaning here that again connects us to al-mulk, dominion. قال أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير وهذا عتاب وحث على النظر إلى حالة الطير التي سخرها الله وسخر لها الجو والهواء تصف فيه أجنحتها للطيران وتقبضها للوقوع فتظل سابحة في الجو مترددة فيه بحسب إرادتها وحاجتها ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن فإنه الذي سخر لهن الجو وجعل أجسادهن وخلقتهن في حالة مستعدة للطيران فمن نظر في حالة الطير واعتبر فيها دلته على قدرة الباري وعنايته الربانية وأنه الواحد الأحد الذي لا تنبغي العبادة إلا له إنه بكل شيء بصير فهو المدبر لعباده بما يليق بهم وتقتضيه حكمته.
This is a rebuke urging people to look at the birds which Allah has subjugated, and He has subjugated the air to them. They spread their wings in the air in order to fly, and fold them when they land, and they soar and fly in the air, going wherever they want according to their needs. None holds them aloft except the Most Gracious. For it is He who has subjugated the air to them and has made their physical makeup suitable for flight. Whoever looks at the birds and reflects upon their situation, that will show him the might of the Creator and His divine care. And he will realize that Allah is the one, and worship is not to be devoted to anyone but Him. Verily, He sees all things, for He controls His slaves in a way that is befitting to them, and as dictated by His wisdom.
Yeah, so this confirms the point we just explained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you see the birds flying and you think, oh, that's how birds are. That's how things are. Today, we're a little more sophisticated. We say, oh, these are the rules of physics. The bones are very light. The structure of their body, the weight of their body, the total weight of their body, compared to the resistance of the wind and so on and so forth, and the, you know, aerodynamics and all of that stuff, we say, okay, that's how it goes. That's the nature of these things. Allah is saying, no, you're not looking deep enough. You're not looking deep enough. This is part of the dominion of Allah. Allah created them in this way, and Allah enabled them and put everything in place for the birds to be able to fly and navigate in such a way. That's the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, that's what happens with science, with physics, chemistry, and everything that we know. We say, oh, these are the rules of nature, right? This is how things go. And we forget, we think, oh, that's like it runs on its own, right? That it's self-perpetuating. It doesn't need any kind of management. It doesn't need any initiator, right? Again, this is blindness. Allah is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن. No one keeps those birds in the air but Allah. Allah keeps them in the air. Yes, you might discover some of those dynamics and be able to utilize them. That's fine. But these dynamics did not happen by themselves. Allah put them in place, and Allah could as well pull from them the capacity to work so they don't work anymore. And Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remind us to people where once they get into a pattern and they become forgetful and the veil of familiarity takes over them, Allah sends them a shock to wake them up. And this is what we have, for example, again, like the financial crisis. They say, oh, financial crisis. Yes, in hindsight, you can look back and figure out the forces, you know, that led to it, or the immediate, the direct causes that led to it. Because this is how Allah runs His creation. When Allah brings something, Allah brings about the causes that lead to it, right? But who caused the financial crisis? Allah causes it for His wisdom, for a lot of wisdom, right? Who causes natural disasters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for greater wisdom. So we should, our insight should penetrate the, you know, the dynamics of the world that we see. This is what Allah is saying. Don't think that these things run on their own. This is part of the dominion of Allah. And look at how Allah made some creation crawl, some creation walk, some creation swim, some creation fly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, all of that is by design. All of that is by design. It's part of the mulk of Allah. قال أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍّ وَنُفُورٍ يقول تعالى للعتاة النافرين عن أمره المعرضين عن الحق أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ إِذَا أَرَادَ بِكُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ سُوءًا فَيَدْفَعُهُ عَنْكُمْ أَوْ فَيَدْفَعَهُ عَنْكُمْ أي من الذي ينصركم على أعدائكم غير الرحمن فإنه تعالى هو الناصر المعز المذل وغيره من الخلق لو اجتمعوا على نصر عبد لم ينفعوه مثقال ذرة على أي عدو كان فاستمرار الكافرين على كفرهم بعد أن علموا أنه لا ينصرهم أحد من دون الرحمن غرور وسفه أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه أي الرزق كله من الله فلو أمسك عنكم رزقه فمن الذي يرسله لكم فإن الخلق لا يقدرون على رزق أنفسهم فكيف بغيرهم فالرازق المنعم الذي لا يصيب العبادة نعمة إلا منه هو الذي يستحق أن يفرد بالعبادة ولكن الكافرون لجوا أي استمروا في عتو أي قسوة وعدم لين للحق ونفور أي شرود عن الحق.
Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the arrogant ones who defy His commands and turn away from the truth, what party is there that could come to your aid against the punishment of the Most Gracious? That is, if the Most Gracious intends ill for you, who could help you and ward it off from you? In other words, who can help you against your enemies except the Most Gracious? For He is the one who bestows honor or brings humiliation. Whereas others who are mere created beings, even if they all came together to help someone, could not bring him an atom's weight of benefit against any enemy. For the disbelievers should persist in their disbelief after knowing that no one can help them against the punishment of the Most Gracious is utter self-deceit and folly. Who is there that could grant you provision if Allah were to withhold His provision? That is, all provision comes from Allah. So if He were to withhold His provision from you, who is there that could send it to you? People are unable to provide for themselves, so how about providing for others, the provider and bestower of blessings? For no blessing is granted to people, but it is from Him, is the only one who deserves to be singled out for worship. But the disbelievers persist, that is, continue in defiance, that is, hard-heartedness and failing to open their hearts to the truth, and aversion, that is, turning away from the truth.
Okay, that's again another indication and manifestation of the al-mulk, the dominion, the power, the authority, absolute authority of Allah and control over everything. And this, subhanAllah, connects to al-qadr, the qadr, which is again one of the articles of faith. Because in al-qadr, you understand causality. Causality is two levels, in simple terms. There are the immediate causes, like for example, what moves this? My physical power, the physical power in my hand moves this from this spot to that spot. That's immediate cause. But we have, these are al-asbab, causes. But we have musabbibul asbab, the causer of causes. The ultimate cause, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who caused me to move this from here to here? Allah and His plan. And both levels work in harmony. We are usually preoccupied with the immediate level of causality. And that's blindness. Faith helps us see beyond this. See this and see what's beyond it, which is the fact that everything is decided and run by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's belief in al-Qadr. That's a great part of belief in al-Qadr. And this is how the believer can put their trust in Allah. This is how you can put your trust in Allah despite what you see. The believers, when they saw that they were surrounded, the companions of Allah in Medina at the Ghazwat al-Khandaq, the trench, when they saw how they were surrounded and hugely outnumbered by the disbelievers, by Quraysh and Ghatafan and some other tribes, Banu Sulaym and then Banu Qurayza, the hypocrites said, that's it, we're doomed, we're done, we're outnumbered, they're going to wipe us out. What did the believers say? قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah and His Messenger promised us. And Allah and His Messenger are truthful. What did Allah and His Messenger promise them? Victory. Come on, like immediate dynamics tell you a different story, but you are seeing what's beyond them. Musa alayhi salam with his people. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. When Fir'aun chased them, they reached the ocean. There's no way out. They're cornered, completely cornered. Fir'aun with all of his troops. And these people, they don't have anything to defend themselves with. When they saw Fir'aun, that he caught up with them, they said to Musa, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. That's it, they caught us. We're done. There's no way out. Musa alayhi salam did not only look at the immediate dynamics, al-asbab, right? The immediate causes. He looked at something that is, he sees this, but he also sees the back end of those dynamics, how they come into place. And that's a richer view of reality. So what did he see there? His faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not going to let down this group. قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He said, no. My Lord is with me. He's going to give us a way out. He's going to show us a way out. Did Musa alayhi salam know what the way out was? No, he didn't. That was faith. That was faith. Compare that to Qarun. Allah here says about rizq. Because we think, oh, I get my rizq from my job. I'm just going to get a job and get my rizq. It's simple dynamics. Like it doesn't need intelligence. It doesn't need faith. That's what people will say. And Allah will give them. Allah will give them and they will get carried away. And they will become more convinced that if you want to make money, get a job or set up a business and you will make money. Simple. It doesn't need, for them, it doesn't need a God. It doesn't need a creator. It's simple terms. My provision comes from my work. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes a financial disaster or a collapse, right? And money loses its value and Allah doesn't send rain and Allah doesn't allow vegetation to grow, get your provision from a job or business. You're doomed, right? You're actually stuck in a very small, tiny fraction of reality, layer of reality, and you think you're wise and you know what you're talking about. Qarun, when they advised him about his wealth and to use it wisely and to thank Allah for it, he said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. It's my skill, my intelligence. I'm a financial savvy, right? I'm an expert. I know how to make money. We have a lot of those today. A lot of those today until you, oh, and I will teach you, but buy my course. And they'll tell you, whatever you put your mind on, you can do it. You can get it done. Yeah. That description can only apply to Allah. You're a human being. You're under control. You don't have mulk. You are mamluk. You belong to Allah. You belong to Allah. So he said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. What did Allah do? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Because we caused the earth to open up, eat him and his house and his treasures, they're gone. All disappeared. And it doesn't have to be in such a tragic or drastic way. It happens in so many ways. But we shouldn't be blinded by the thin layer of reality that we see and we perceive. There is more. There's more depth to that, and you have to see it. So who protects you? Who defends you? Who keeps you safe? It's Allah. But you think, you know what? It's the systems around you. It's the lifestyle around you. It's the precautions. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things are part of the puzzle. But when the bigger plan, look at it like the grand scheme of things in the background, but the dynamics are what's happening in front of you. You know when you watch a movie and you know the hero in the movie, the big star in the movie, is about to die, and you know, some people get, oh, he's going to die. You say, no, he's not going to die. The director is not going to let him die. You know that, right? So the dynamics there are he's going to die, but you know that there are dynamics in the background that are greater, that the producer or director will not, you know, ruin the movie at this point. You know, they're not. So somehow, out of nowhere, something comes up and changes the whole situation. And that's, we understand this at the level of humans making movies and films. But what about when you're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah, the creator of everything. So again, this is an emphasis of al-mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ أي أي رجلين أهدى من كان تائها في الضلال غارقا في الكفر قد انتكس قلبه فصار الحق عنده باطلا والباطل حقا ومن كان عالما بالحق مؤثرا له عاملا به يمشي على الصراط المستقيم في أقواله وأعماله وجميع أحواله فبمجرد النظر إلى حال هذين الرجلين يعلم الفرق بينهما والمهتدي من الضال منهما والأحوال أكبر شاهد من الأقوال.
That is, which of the two men is more guided? The one who is wandering in misguidance, sinking in disbelief to the extent that he sees things to be the opposite of what they are, so that he regards truth as falsehood and falsehood as truth. Or the one who knows the truth, gives precedence to it and acts upon it by following the straight path in his in his words and deeds and in all situations. Simply looking at the situation of these two men, one will realize the difference between them and know which one is guided and which is misguided. For conduct is greater testimony than words.
Yeah, and I think that's obvious. That's one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation, that people who follow His guidance, their conduct will be more upright. Yes, they might be tested in their life, but the reality is that their conduct, their standards, their morality, the beauty, the moral beauty, the goodness in their life is more evident than the life of others. But again, when the minds are so contaminated with, you know, the emphasis of wealth and capitalism and power and politics and all of that stuff, our standards get corrupted. Our standards get corrupted, and the Prophet ﷺ spoke about this, that towards the later times, يقال للرجل ما أضرفه وليس في قلبه مثقال ذرة من إيمان. That people would look at a person, they would say, what a, like, how cool this guy is, and in his heart there is no Iman whatsoever. And the Prophet ﷺ said that in a sense of wonder, like it's astonishing that this is how things will be. That you will find someone who has no iman in their heart, you will find them cool and pleasant. Why? Because the standards will be corrupted. The standards will be corrupted. And it happens. It happens today. You will find a troublemaker, someone who's immoral, and they seek means around things, and they play games, and they act immorally, you know, but they can speak well, right? And they tell jokes, and they can be pleasant, and they can be diplomatic, and people admire them, and they know their moral violations. Whereas someone who's very simple and maybe even dull, but you know what, truthful, people don't appreciate them. These are the standards. Standards have changed. The standards have changed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again, He's speaking Allah here to the sound mind. Those who follow the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they similar? You know, look at their family life, look at their marriages, look at their children. And you have to understand something about today. There's a lot of sugar coating around in the world. There's a lot of hiding truth. There's a lot of selective information being highlighted and a lot of other information being hidden just to manipulate how you view reality. How you view reality. You know, if you read statistics about, just talk about the family, generally speaking, among people who don't adhere to Islam and the morality of Islam. You know, the level of abuse, child abuse by parents is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I had stories firsthand from people who were not Muslim. And they talked about the horrors in their house. And it seemed to be like the norm. These things are played down, but they are a reality. You know, the honesty, the truthfulness, the decency of a Muslim, of someone who truly believes in Allah. I mean, a Muslim who really adheres to Islam, not, again, you know, the ones who don't really live by Islam, is amazing, is refreshing, is refreshing. These are people, you find their humanity is maintained and is enhanced. But again, everyone has flaws, but we are talking about, you know, the more a person, you know, adheres to Islam. And you might say, oh, there are people who seem to be religious, you know, but they are the worst if you deal with them. Yeah, you're talking about hypocrites. These are not believers. Or if they are believers, they are bordering hypocrisy. So these are not the standard. Don't be fooled by how they look like or how they present themselves. Yeah, and there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. قال قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين يقول تعالى مبينا أنه المعبود وحده أنه المعبود وحده أحسنت أنه المعبود وحده وداعيا عباده إلى شكره وإفراده بالعبادة قل هو الذي أنشأكم أي أوجدكم من العدم من غير معاون له ولا مظاهر ولا ما أنشأكم كمل لكم الوجود بالسمع والأبصار والأفئدة التي هي أنفع أعضاء البدن وأكمل القوى الجسمانية ولكنه مع هذا الإنعام قليلا ما تشكرون الله قليل منكم الشاكر وقليل منكم الشكر عجيب أوكي. قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون أي بثكم في أقطارها وأسكنكم في أرجائها وأمركم ونهاكم وأزدى عليكم من النعم ما به تنتفعون ثم بعد ذلك يحشركم ليوم القيامة ولكن هذا الوعد بالجزاء ينكره هؤلاء المعاندون ويقولون تكذيبا متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين.
Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, explaining that He alone is deserving of worship and calling His slaves to give thanks to Him and worship Him alone. Say, it is He who has created you. That is, He has brought you into being from nothing, without any helper, without any help or supporter. When He brought you into being, He perfected your creation by giving you hearing, sight, and intellect, which are the most beneficial of physical faculties. But despite these blessings, little it is that you give thanks to Allah. Those who are grateful are a few among you, and gratitude is scarce among you. Say, it is He who has scattered you throughout the earth. That is, He has spread you throughout its regions and caused you to dwell all over the earth. He has issued commands and prohibitions to you, and has bestowed blessings upon you that are of benefit to you. Then after that, He will gather you on the day of resurrection. But this promise of requital is denied by these stubborn disbelievers, and they say rejecting it.
Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, not only that He has control over everything, and He created everything, and He designed everything and put it in place, but even your creation, you yourself, your ability to see, to hear, to process, to think, to feel, to be conscious, to have this human experience, all of that is given to you by Allah, and designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that is given by Allah. So it's not like you happen to be in the dominion of Allah. You yourself are the creation of Allah. You are Who gave you your creation? الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Who gave everything its creation? Who brought you into existence? Allah. Who designed you? Who gave you all these devices? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not like you don't even stand alone and then you question Allah. You don't even stand on yourself. They say this in the Arabic language, which is again a philosophical language. It's again from kalam again, and they say Allah is wajibul wujud. Allah is necessarily existent by necessity. He's absolute. It's impossible for Allah not to exist. But our existence is what? Al-wujud al-mumkin. Our existence is possible. Why? Because it's emergent. Allah brought us into existence after we were not there. So our existence is not necessary. And if we are not in existence, not much changes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one on whom everything or all of existence depends. Okay, again, philosophical language. But the thing is, you don't have an independent existence yourself. And when you use your mind to reject Allah, Allah gave you that mind. So you see the folly of all of this? When people who argue against the existence of Allah or the right of Allah to be worshipped. قال ويقولون تكذيبا متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين جعلوا علامة صدقهم أن يخبروا بوقت مجيئه وهذا ظلم وعناد فإنما العلم عند الله لا عند أحد من الخلق ولا ملازمة بين صدق هذا الخبر وبين الإخبار بوقته فإن الصدق يعرف بأدلته وقد أقام الله من الأدلة والبراهين على صحته ما لا يبقى معه أدنى شك لمن ألقى السمع وهو شهيد.
But this promise of requital is denied by these stubborn disbelievers, and they say, rejecting it, when will this promise come to pass, if you speak the truth? They think that as a sign of truthfulness, the messengers should tell them of the time of its coming. This is not right, and it is stubbornness on their part. Knowledge thereof is only with Allah, not with any individual, and there is no connection between the truthfulness of disbelief and being able to say when it will happen. Truthfulness is known from its evidence, and Allah has established proof and evidence for its truthfulness that leaves no room for the slightest doubt for anyone who listens and pays attention.
Yeah, what they are doing here is that rather than asking the real questions, who created us, why are we here, or if there is next life, the day of judgment, they ask the wrong question. Okay, if there's a day of judgment, in order for us to believe in it, you have to tell us when it's going to be. That's the wrong question to ask. That's not like a necessary part of the reality of the Day of Judgment. It doesn't prove anything if you know when it is. It's not the question. And subhanAllah, you would find actually this happens a lot in the media. How do they confuse people, the masses? Sometimes, and many times, they don't lie. They don't make like flagrant lies. Unless they are cornered, they would lie. But, you know, they would not lie. They would just frame things by asking the wrong questions. Just asking the wrong questions all the time. All the time. They keep asking the wrong questions. And questions guide thinking. You ask the wrong questions, you're confused. This is why they say the path to knowledge is asking good questions. Good quality questions lead to quality knowledge. Lousy questions, even if you get the answers, they will not give you good knowledge. So a great part of learning is actually to know which questions really to ask that are the most consequential about any situation. قال فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين. يعني أن محل تكذيب الكفار وغرورهم أن محل تكذيب الكفار وغرورهم به حين كانوا في الدنيا يعني أن محل تكذيب الكفار وغرورهم به حين كانوا في الدنيا فإذا كان يوم الجزاء ورأوا العذاب منهم زلفة أي قريبا ساءهم ذلك وأفضعهم وقلقل أفئدتهم فتغيرت لذلك وجوههم ووبخوا على تكذيبهم وقيل لهم هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون فاليوم رأيتموه عيانا وانجلى لكم الأمر وتقطعت بكم الأسباب ولم يبق إلا مباشرة العذاب. ولما كان المكذبون للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الذين يردون دعوته ينتظرون هلاكه ويتربصون به ريب المنون أمره الله أن يقول لهم أنتم وإن حصلت لكم أمانيكم وأهلكني الله ومن معي فليس ذلك بنافع لكم شيئا لأنكم كفرتم بآيات الله واستحقيتم العذاب فمن يجيركم من عذاب أليم قد تحتم وقوعه بكم فإذا تعبكم وحرصكم على هلاكي غير مفيد ولا مجد عنكم شيئا.
On the day of requital, when they see the punishment approaching, that is coming near, that will distress them and fill them with anxiety, which will show in their faces. They will be rebuked for their disbelief, and it will be said to them, This is that which you disbelieved in. Today you will see it with your own eyes and matters will become clear to you, but you will have no means to save yourselves. There is nothing left but for the punishment to befall you. Because those who disbelieved in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rejected his call were waiting for him to die. Allah instructed him to say to them, even if your wishes come true and Allah causes me and those who are with me to die, that will not benefit you in the slightest because you have disbelieved in the signs of Allah and are deserving of punishment. Who will protect you from a painful punishment that has become inevitable for you? Therefore, your efforts and eagerness for my death are of no benefit and are to no avail.
قال ومن قولهم إنهم على هدى والرسول على ضلال أعادوا في ذلك وأبدوا وجادلوا عليه وقاتلوا فأمر الله نبيه أن يخبر عن حاله وحال أتباعه ما به يتبين لكل أحد هداهم وتقواهم وهو أن يقولوا آمنا به وعليه توكلنا. والإيمان يشمل التصديق الباطن والأعمال الباطنة والظاهرة. ولما كانت الأعمال وجودها وكمالها متوقفة على التوكل خص الله التوكل من بين سائر الأعمال وإلا فهو داخل في الإيمان ومن جملة لوازمه كما قال تعالى وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. فإذا كانت هذه حال الرسول وحال من اتبعه وهي الحال التي تتعين للفلاح وتتوقف عليه السعادة وحالة أعدائه بضدها فلا إيمان لهم ولا توكل. علم بذلك من هو على هدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين ثم أخبر عن انفراده بالنعم خصوصا بالماء الذي جعل الله منه كل شيء حي فقال قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا أي غائرا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين تشربون منه وتسقون أنعامكم وأشجاركم وزروعكم. وهذا استفهام بمعنى النفي أي لا يقدر أحد على ذلك غير الله تعالى.
Among the things that they said was that they were guided and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was misguided, and they kept repeating that over and over, arguing to prove that they were right and he was wrong. Therefore, Allah instructed his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell them about his situation and that of his followers, so as to make it clear to everyone that they were guided and the righteous. So they were to say, "We believe in him and in him we put our trust." Belief includes both affirmation in the heart, which will have a positive impact on one's emotions and outwardly visible deeds. Because carrying out deeds and perfecting them depends on putting one's trust in Allah. Allah singles out trust from among other deeds. Otherwise, it comes under the heading of faith, of which it is one of the essential parts, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, "And in Allah put your trust if you are truly believers." As this was the attitude of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed him, and it is the sound attitude that is necessary for success and on which happiness depends. And the attitude of his enemies was the opposite, because they had no faith and did not put their trust in Allah. Thus it is known who was following true guidance and who had clearly gone astray. Then Allah tells us that He alone bestows blessings, especially water from which Allah has made every living thing. As He says, "Say, what do you think if your water were to disappear under the ground? Then who could bring you accessible water that you could drink and give to your livestock, and with which you could irrigate your trees and crops. This appears in the form of a question, but with what is meant is negation. In other words, no one can do that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, so here there is a response to the disbelievers who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his message to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah says on the day of judgment they will see it and then they would believe. Inna muqirun. That's what they would say. They would, when they see everything, they say, oh Allah, now we are convinced. Now we are convinced. But you know, subhanAllah, the justice of Allah. Allah says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah says, what if you see when they are made to stand before the hellfire? And they would say, at that moment, they would say, we wish, we hope, if only if we can be returned or sent back to the life, to the worldly life, we would believe. We would believe. Now we've seen it. And you know, many of us think, you know, many people are not convinced, etc., right? And they would, maybe there's not enough evidence, etc., or maybe they have, I don't know, an excuse, whatever. I mean, it could be. It could be. But you need to understand the nature of faith. It's not mental conviction. It's not intellectual conviction. It's not in the mind. It's in the heart. So Allah says when they see the fire, they say, only if we are sent back, we would believe and we would never be from the disbelievers. Allah said, بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. No, what they used, the faith in their heart used to be hidden. They used to hide, suppress it. Now it became apparent. وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. If they were to be sent. Listen to this. The disbelievers have seen now the hellfire and they say, we wish we can go back. Allah says, if they were to be returned to this life, they would still disbelieve. So it's not a matter of information and lack of information. I mean, with some people, maybe, yes, the message didn't reach them, but I'm talking about the people who received the message. Or maybe this, maybe that. Allahu A'lam, but the people believe despite the truth coming to them. Why? It's the corruption of the heart. These people have seen the hellfire and Allah says if they were to go back, they would still disbelieve in this life. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will see it and they will see the truth on the day of judgment. The truth of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his warnings. And then Allah instructs the believer, the Prophet ﷺ and the believers to say, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. To our Lord, we have believed in Him and His message and we put our trust in Him and our reliance on Him. He guides us. He guides us. Now the disbelievers, obviously they argued based on advice from Bani Israel in Medina. قَالُوا هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا. These are يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت ويقولون الذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا. They said about the worship of idols that these are actually more guided than these Muslims. So again, they tried to claim this to themselves. Just like today, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of claim to humanity, human rights, and whatever, civilization, justice, and so on and so forth. These are all empty claims. The reality of faith is in the ones who truly put, the ones who believe in Allah are the ones who eventually put their trust in Allah. Their lifestyle, their conduct reveals this. And then eventually Allah closes it with, again, the same veil of familiarity that we talk about. You see the water that you depend on, you can't even live for a couple of days without it. You would die. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ. If your water were to sink deep down on the earth and you have no access to it, what would you do? Who would bring it back to you? You take things for granted. You think that you are so civilized, you're so powerful, and that you have whatever it takes. You don't realize that it's only one element, only one of the zillions of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken away from you, you can't even live, and you're done. Your whole everything in your life collapses, and you die. That's how fragile you are, and that's how dependent on Allah you are, but you're blind to it. So, and all of that is in the hands of Allah, even your guidance, and your hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the end of commentary on Surah Al-Mulk, the Dominion. And with this we have, alhamdulillah, completed two juz. And again, you see with every week a little bit, subhanAllah, you can actually read substantial amount of tafsir. So this is why regularity is actually very important. This is something you can do at home, you can do yourself, you can do it with your family, and this is something, and you can learn a lot over time. Okay, we can take a couple of questions.
Sorry, I hope it's not too philosophical, but I thought I had this concept of the Qadr already, you know, behind me, but you kind of gave me a little bit of a scare there. So Allah allows you to move the glass from one place to another. Without Allah, we wouldn't do it. So then when you do something that is evil, or if you commit a sin, is it still Allah that is like you?
Allah wrote it down. Good. So that's the question of evil. But again, like, okay, and we actually should deal with this at some point in more detail. This has to do with understanding what evil is. So, good and evil happen by the permission of Allah and by the qadar of Allah, yes. But does Allah do evil? No. No. Allah only does what's good. But Allah creates good and Allah creates evil. Now, where does the confusion come from? It comes from that we have swallowed the definition of good and evil that is not Islamic. And that's where the confusion is. So let's make a point to talk about actually, you know, good and evil in terms of Al-Qadr, and how do we understand this? Well, it seems to be a dilemma, but it's not a dilemma. How come Allah creates evil? Isn't that tantamount to doing evil, or is it different? It's definitely different. It's completely different. But it obviously, it requires an explanation, a lengthy explanation. Not because it's difficult, it's easy. But you know, we have, our minds are contaminated. To undo this, that's where the work is. Whereas the simple, the principle in Islam is so simple, so straightforward. Okay? So remind me if I don't bring this up. Maybe we can talk about that this next week, inshallah. Maybe. One more question, sisters, just to give you a fair chance. Question? No questions? Turning back to the brothers, quickly. You need to speak up. عذاب القبر. We don't know. Scholars, so the brothers asking, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that reciting Surah Al-Mulk every night is meant to protect the person from عذاب القبر, the punishment of the grave. What is in it? The Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything. Scholars could improvise and try, but none of that is definite. Okay, there are things that's called waqfi, ma'na waqfi, meaning it's from Allah without explanation. Khalas, alhamdulillah. Tayyib, jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. And keep your brothers and sisters in Palestine in your dua. Barakallahu.